KRWM, HD3, Bremerton, Seattle.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show, healing post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is actually triggered from a reading that I did recently on a young man who is an Iraq war veteran. And I've done this work before with veterans, but this one seemed very, very different. And part of the difference in that was, is he kept asking me, you know, what does he need to do to fix himself? And he did have a little bit of counseling as during that process of being over in Iraq and then also shortly thereafter. But he really thought that it was taken care of and everything was closed and he had complete resolution in his mind, only to find out that he kept having those lingering nightmares and he kept having the different things occurring, those startle responses that were really impacting his life. So I thought, you know, all of us to some degree have post-traumatic stress disorder, but not to the severity of someone who has actually had a crisis or a trauma in their life. So I thought, you know, it would just be a very good topic for today. And, you know, that I keep hearing him, what's wrong with, ask me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me? And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people I've done readings on, and there's days that I wake up and I say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? So I thought, you know, good topic for it. And so we don't keep slipping deeper into our fears. And in the case of this young man, that horrible sorrow that he was carrying with him. And then also I realized that underlying all of this was this quiet desperation that he and many people with PTSD suffer from, and even a lot of us in the trauma, while it's maybe not as severe, still feel. So I thought perfect timing for this topic. So I hope that you'll enjoy it and get a lot of information out of it and be able to apply a lot of what I'm going to be sharing today. Not only if you are actually suffering from PTSD, but if you find yourself being depressed or anxious or having that generalized anxiety that seems to be very prevalent right now, I'm hoping that the information that I'm going to be sharing today will be of value to you in whichever way you could use it. So in addition to talking about PTSD, I'm going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or about PTSD, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and the same number is good for international callers. Of course, all you have to do is dial your international calling code and then the number 877-230-3062. I'd also like to invite you to join me for my free Your Health teleclass that's going to be taking place on Thursday, October 27th, 2011 at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. With October being the National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the topic, of course, is going to be on breast cancer. I actually launched my Your Health teleclasses 2 years ago in the month of March and did a PDF and a teleclass download of breast cancer. But what I found is over the course of the 2 years when I went back and revisited it, there's so much more information that's available. There's a different way of looking at mammograms, and there's different type of thermography that's now available that can really work very effectively with women who have a dense breast tissue and so forth. So a lot of changes have happened in those 2 years. And one of the things I found so significant is we've always known that women aren't the only ones prone to breast cancer, that men are as well. However, in that 2 years when I first did the research on breast cancer, there was approximately 1,500 men diagnosed on an annual basis with breast cancer, and in 2 years that number has increased to over 2,000. So there's things that are going on hormonally that can be tied to stress that is really a tremendous contributor to the chemistry of the body and how well the immune system does its job. So I decided that it's the best time for me to be sharing some of this latest research. I'm going to expand on discussing the hidden psychological meanings behind breast cancer. Also, how it looks in the energy field, because one of the things I've learned as a medical intuitive doing this work for 20 years now is that what occurs is if we don't have a real clear picture or even a picture of what's going on, then it is difficult for us to wrap our mind around what needs to be done in order to heal it. And the exquisite part of the energy field, unlike the physical body that can throw up symptoms in different areas, for example, a lot of times with breast cancer, there can be some hair loss, there can be some overall general fatigue. But what we're finding is that in that's really just the effect and not the cause, and the aura is exquisite from the standpoint in that energy body that it says this is the origin site and this is where it maps as far as symptom sites, primary and secondary. So a tremendous amount of information in the energy field, so I share that as well. And then also the role personality plays in the development of breast cancer. And then, as always, in all of my teleclasses, not only the conventional treatment for breast cancer, but just a myriad of alternative choices that can help you heal it, and then also use these different choices as a complement to conventional treatment. So if you or a loved one or a friend or coworker has been diagnosed with breast cancer or you're currently in treatment, I hope that you're going to join me for this free Your Health teleclass as I really offer this holistic perspective of what it is, how to heal with it. Or how to heal it. So again, you can join me October 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Please do remember that it's free while you're listening to the teleclass itself. You can register on my website at www.ritberger.com. So I hope you'll join me and tell your friends or loved ones about me. So let's go back to the story about the reading that I did on the war veteran. One of the things that he kept saying besides, you know, can you fix me? Can I be fixed? Am I going to be okay? Will this ever pass? Am I going to get back into being myself? He shared to me how before all of this happened, even when he was in Iraq, before all of this trauma happened that basically brought him to the place that he was very vital and he was very engaged in life. And even in that environment where there's so much stress, he still had that connection with himself. He still had that part of himself that was still alive and well and vital and could pull him up by the bootstraps and be able to keep him going. And he really felt that he was very fearless and he was able to tackle any problem that came along. He enjoyed being with his grown children, and now they seem to be rejecting him because he wasn't strong anymore. He said, I cry for no reason at all. And he says, you know, it'd be fine, Carol, if I cried when I was in the confines of my home. But he says, I can be outside and sitting on a park bench or in a grocery store and I find myself crying for no reason. And then what he found is the thing that really kept really bothering him was the fact that he kept rehashing the event over and over again. And he kept rehashing how he was before this trauma occurred. And it's that rehashing part that literally sets this trauma ingrained in the neural networks of the brain, and how that ruminating just continued to feed those traumas, the emotional charges associated with it. And then also the chemistry of the brain, to the point where the brain just didn't want to let go of this memory. And so he said sometimes that he just wanted to take off his head, he said, and from the standpoint, just stop it from going back and rehashing it. What could I have done different? How could I react differently? And should I have been there? And did I not listen to my intuition? You know, questions that we all ask ourselves on a daily basis, just trying to get through the trauma of life so often. And he said what it really had done is he reached a place where he was losing his will to live. And fortunately, a family member knew of my work and said, you know, I think you need to talk to Carol. And, of course, his first reaction when we picked up the phone and talked with each other, he says, I don't know why I'm talking to an intuit. But he says, my sister says it might help me, so I'm just open right now. I'm desperate, Carol. I'm to the point where I'm considering taking my life, and I just don't know what to do. And I kind of look at it as if it takes that to get somebody to me, then so be it. My job is to deliver a different picture and information, and it turned out being an absolutely wonderful reading. He knew inside that he just felt like he really didn't want to take his life, but he just didn't know how to stop the spinning. He kept saying to me in the reading as we got deeper into it, Carol, I really want to do more. I want to really help people. I know there's people out there that are not only suffering from what I'm suffering from, the trauma, but there's got to be other people who have had traumas in their life that have been so severe that have lived with this for longer than I have. And he says, that's the thing that keeps me from taking my life. From the standpoint, I know that my soul has a bigger picture. Now, this was a lot different than the young man that started out the conversation that said, I don't know why I'm talking to an intuit. And the reason I share that is how exquisite the body, the soul, the mind is once it starts feeling like it has a supportive ear, or it feels like it's being heard or being recognized. The healing process starts very quickly and really instantly. When I explained that what he was suffering was from PTSD as a result of being a pontoon leader, and the pontoon leader in him was mandated by his directives as a leader to be able to really think things through, to weigh all the options before he put other young men in harm's way. And when he found himself in a place where he watched his men literally die right in front of his eyes, he kept feeling like he was responsible for this. Maybe he didn't do what was right. And so quickly in that trauma, the mind goes in and tries to figure out what was wrong. What could you have done different? And so what he felt is he felt this tremendous responsibility, of course. And he said to me over and over again, that day, Carol, with every life that fell, a part of me died as well. So I had asked him if he had really sought counseling after he got out of the service to be able to really work on this. And he said, no, because he really thought that it was taken care of. But he said he's finding that it's difficult to be able to talk about his feelings. And he said he just didn't seem like he needed to go back. But now what he needs is he really needs help, and he needs help right now. So I suggested that not only with the picture that I share with him, that he goes back to counseling, and that also that I thought that it would be worthwhile for him to go back to school and to learn more about the psychological implications of the things that happen in our life. And because he had such the desire, and every time I could see it in his aura, this desire to be able to make a difference in people's life and help them and be able to be talk to them because of his own experiences, his aura would go from being so close to his body and really very diminished in size and very almost like Swiss cheese and the holes in it, to all of a sudden being vibrant and alive and the colors alive. So I said to him, you know, why don't you look at going back to school and looking at taking psychology and learning what you can do and maybe becoming a counselor for and specializing in PTSD. And I could watch him light up, and his first reaction, you know, with the lighting up, while his aura was saying yes, 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 his mind was saying no, no, no. And he finally said to me, you know, Carol, I'm just too old. And I said, honey, you're 30 years old. Come on. You're not too old to go back to school. And he says, well, you know, I need to go get a job, and I need to do this and that. And I said, you need to go back to school. Why don't you just consider it? So what he did is he finally ended up doing that. And as a result, his life completely has started to turn around. And he drops me emails every so often, and I can tell in the first five words of that email, he's in his skin, he's feeling good about himself. And I could tell in those first five words in his email that he's reaching out for help, and maybe a kind voice or a cheerful smile or that little smiley face or a joke or whatever it may be, that I can just in a very brief moment sometimes reach out and to be able to help, or even energetically, I can tell how far he's come since we've done this reading. So really, the thing about PTSD is, for anyone who is suffering from it, whether it's really debilitating to your life or it's that nagging low-grade stress and fear and dread and despair, hopelessness, helplessness that you're feeling underneath the skin, is that it can be worked with, and it can be neurologically rewired in a way that it can take that trauma, and it doesn't forget. The brain doesn't forget the trauma. It just rewires networks that basically diffuse the emotional charge and that can add hope and optimism and new direction and sense of purpose and meaning back in one's life. PTSD is really a debilitating form of a mental illness, and it affects people both psychologically and physically. That's really important to know in regards to PTSD. It's characterized by nightmares, the startled responses, fatigue, flashbacks, and a sense of being out of touch with reality and disassociated from yourself. It's almost like in PTSD, people will say to me, Carol, I feel like I'm going through the motions of life, but I'm not really engaged in what's going on in life. This order is usually precipitated by a traumatic life event, such as a serious accident, in the case of this young man, being in war, crime victimization, or even natural disasters where death or the fear of your own life is involved. And what this does is it creates these intense feelings of fear and horror and helplessness. Now, all of those things we know in the neuroscience aspect of how the brain functions and the chemistry, we know that when we have these strong feelings of fear and this horror that's associated with the trauma around PTSD and the sense of absolute helplessness, not like what am I going to have for breakfast, I can't make up my mind, but this intense helplessness, it literally locks in these neural networks to where the brain gets so anxious and so chemically out of balance, it demands that the physical body feeds it what it needs. It's glucose and the adrenaline and the cortisol is a major contributor to the lingering effects of PTSD. So again, please do remember that while it is a psychological event and how it affects us psychologically, it's physical as well. Now, PTSD can occur at any age, and although the course of the illness is variable, what it can be is it can be healed, but one of the things is if you even think or you're inclined below the surface with your intuition that this is what you might be experiencing to even some degree, I really encourage you to go and to talk to someone, a mental health care professional, to talk to someone because they're skilled in being able to diagnose, is this really what's going on, or is this a generalized anxiety that's going on? And the reason for that is that if we leave it unattended in that PTSD, what can happen is then it can become chronic, and now it overlaps and really kind of flows into all aspects of our life, not only with our relationship with others, our engagement to be involved in life, the emotional components of it, the depression components of it, the digestive components of it. So we really do need to nip this in the bud. And, you know, one of the things people say to me, well, Carol, when I go in, I've had this for a long time. You know what? There's always time to start. And when we do, then things can really change. So we don't have that chronic negativeness that really flows into that part of our lives and our attitudes that creates that chronic negativeness in our attitudes. Excuse me, as well. So some of the common symptoms of PTSD include shortness of breath, a smothering sensation, heightened arousal where you get these sudden startled effects of it, claustrophobia, choking, dizziness and fainting, heart palpitations, high blood pressure, pain and tightness in the chest, trembling, numbness and tingling sensations, specifically more in the upper part of the torso of the body, the peripheral nerves, the hands. A lot of times people who have suffered from PTSD may be diagnosed with something that may even be contemplated as being Parkinson's, and then the more we get below the surface and through the testing, we find it isn't anything neurological that way, but it's more of this nervous system basically being responsive and reactive like a cat on a hot tin roof, and it just compresses the muscles, gets them all tight, puts compression on the spine and those peripheral nerves. Also sweating, nausea, loss of appetite, generalized aches and pains. This is a common complaint from anyone that suffers from PTSD. Of course, depression. Depression can be anywhere from mild to severe. One of the things is depression, usually with PTSD, does not ultimately culminate in bipolar. It's more of a very, very deep depression where a person clinically is chemically out of balance. Sometimes that mania, that fearfulness, and that fearlessness associated with mania can also be part of the depression syndrome. Another common symptom is insomnia. Because of the fear of the nightmares, it changes, again, the chemistry and psychologically to where someone doesn't want to go to sleep. A distorted perception of the passage of time, feeling disconnected from your body. And what we're finding is that this PTSD, if left untreated over the course of time, and what am I talking about? I'm not talking about 6 months, because usually if it's a trauma, that trauma will be encouraged to, you'll be encouraged to go ahead and deal with it. But I'm talking about that low-grade trauma that can go on for 2, 3, 4 years. But what it does is it actually damages part of the brain and that processes fear. And in this damage, it causes these symptoms to not only linger, but what it does is that anything that looks like that fear, emotionally feels like that fear, or physically feels like that fear, that brain is going to go back into that same trauma as if it had just happened. So again, lots of information that I shared with it. If you do believe that you have any inclination for it, I hope that you will go and just seek someone out and then talk to them. Because one of the things is the best way to really heal PTSD is to literally talk about it with the help of someone that can help you make the decisions that need to be. So, interesting topic. I'm going to jump right in now and take calls. Hi, Katie from California. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Carol. I'm really concerned about my husband. His name mm-hmm. is Steve. And for the last two and a half months, he's been so tired. It's just not normal tired. He's been very lethargic, like, at night he'll be doing something and he'll literally just fall asleep doing it. And he didn't used to be like this. And sometimes his speech sounds a little slurry.
Right.
When he talks, he just doesn't seem to be mentally as sharp as he used to be. And it definitely has been within the last 2 to 3 months that it started. And it seems like it's gradually getting worse.
Yeah, it and I agree, sweetie. So, you know, thank you for reaching out to me and having me share my perception on it. Let me go in, because I headed in one direction and then his body took me in another one. What he is experiencing is it feels like he's having an immune system reaction. There's something that is causing his body, his immune system is hypervigilant, and that's the way I refer to it, is that his immune system is really going in and it's becoming really active in his body to find out what is causing this inflammation outbreak that I'm picking up in his energy field. And what it's doing two things. It's actually, it feels like the immune system in its heightened hypervigilance is actually attacking the nervous system, and it feels like it's attacking the muscles as well. So the fatigue itself really feels, the muscle part of it feels like it's tied to this, as does this neurological part of it. A couple of other things is that what he's experiencing is not narcolepsy. The fact that he's going to sleep isn't that it has that narcolepsy energy about it. It doesn't feel that way to me. But it feels like his body gets so tired from just having to keep itself functioning that, in fact, he just wears himself out. It literally wears everything out. So that's part of it. The other thing is, honey, I'm picking up that he has candida. And candida mm-hmm. is a yeast overgrowth. And I can pick that up in his chest, and I can pick that up in his sinus brain area as well. That could be part of the fuzzy thinking that you're picking up. But it may also be the candida, because he feels like his whole pH is off. His eating is off. What he's craving is off. His lack of desire for food. There's a whole bunch of things that, you know, we could say is psychological, but it really feels like it's physical. Has he been to the doctor yet, honey?
He is going this week, because I told him this is getting ridiculous. He needs to find out what's going on, because it's not normal what's happening to him. Now, he quit smoking like 10 months ago, and he's gained like 40 pounds.
Right.
So,
but that's not what this is about. This is about something, you know, stress is always involved in it, but this is something more. Did he, let me see if I can do this. I'm using you as a surrogate. What was he doing 10 months ago, sweetie? When did you say he quit smoking?
Yeah, December 2nd, last December.
Okay. Let's see, 10 months. Yep, that would be about the right time. Something else was going on besides the stopping smoking that he
Well, he's also on pain medication for his neck.
Gotcha. Okay. Something changed at that point in time and set this whole chain reaction start. That's when it started. It started, actually, I can go in. He's really good. He just opened up to me. Actually, this whole thing started November 3rd of 2010. Can you go back the 1st of November? You might want to look at that because having it go back that far, a couple of things. The good news is that even with stopping smoking and the dramatic change that his body went through and what his brain went through and getting off of that nicotine and everything, the fact that his body has continued to try to right itself and find that balance is very positive. But it's reached a point where the body just doesn't know what to do. The immune system doesn't know who's friend or foe. It doesn't know, you know, with this candida. It just doesn't know what's going on. And my sense is that we've got the implications feels to me is that we've got a chronic fatigue. These are the implications, not diagnosing. We've got a chronic fatigue situation, and we've got an immune system that is actually attacking the nerves itself. And what we need to do is we need to support the immune system. I would encourage him to get not only the normal blood panel done, but I would ask him to ask for a thyroid test. I would ask him... have the doctor look at his creatine levels in his muscles themselves and see if we've got a dynamics of some kind of inflammation due to a virus or due to something or bug bites or something that's caused his immune system to just go haywire. That's literally how it feels to me, sweetie.
Yeah, okay.
So,
thank you very much.
You are welcome. And you know what? Good for you for recognizing, bringing the awareness, and then, you know, men, while they're wonderful creatures, sometimes we have to use that little bit of cattle prod or that kick in the butt and that stuff. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome, sweetie. It's still very, very manageable. We just have to get a hold of it before it can continue on.
It's scary because even the kids have noticed how tired he is and how he can't, exhausted all of the time.
Yeah. So what we want to do is you could even go on WebMD and some of the other sites, sweetie, and start doing some research on chronic fatigue syndrome.
Okay.
And chronic fatigue syndrome, we're finding, isn't always tied to a virus like we thought. It can be tied to candida, but it can also be tied to an overreactive inflammatory reaction in the immune system where it just kind of forgets what it needs to do because it's tired.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Well, let's go ahead and jump into a commercial break. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to be taking calls. I've got a couple callers. I'm going to be talking more about PTSD and just sharing more information. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guests. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Well, Well, welcome back. And if you are just joining me today, I'm talking about PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. And in this final segment, I'm going to be sharing some of the alternative therapies that can actually help in reducing those lingering effects that people talk about with the PTSD that's really affecting their quality of life. As I said in the first segment, it's really important for us to remember that while it has that psychological impact and the implications, we also need to be able to really support it from alternative therapies and different alternative choices such as different supplements or vitamins. We really need to deal with it physically as well. If you'd like to learn more about PTSD and how to heal it, I actually did a Your Health teleclass on anxiety and panic disorders. And what's included in that particular download of that teleclass, both in the audio and then the PDF, is a very detailed description of PTSD, and then also some of the psychological components that are directly tied to that particular level of anxiety. You can purchase both of these PDFs on my website at www.ritberger.com. There is an audio download of the 60-minute teleclass and then a printable PDF of the download as well. And then when you're on my website, www.ritberger.com, what you want to do is just put your cursor over that top tab that says teleclasses. You're going to see a drop-down menu. Click on that, and then you're going to see that I've actually done teleclasses on over 25 different illnesses. And in that, as I do with all of my teleclasses, and what I try to do very quickly in my show is to offer a holistic perspective of what's going on. There's even a try before you buy. So you can listen to a brief snippet of that audio download or read a brief excerpt of the printable PDF. Now, while you're also on the website, I just had my September teleclass, and the topic was on Candida, and those, the audio PDF and the printable PDF is also available for sale. In fact, the printable PDF is 36 pages long, so that gives you an idea about how much research and comprehension goes into what I do. And I look at everything from an illness perspective, and unlike conventional medicine that looks at it from a disease perspective, disease really implies a pathological organism or organ change where it's very measurable from a tangible, that physicalness of the body. Illness really looks at whatever is happening in that particular dynamics, whether it's PTSD or whether it's Candida. Illness looks at it holistically, and illness really implies that there are psychological implications that are also contributors to what's happening in the pathology of the body itself. So again, you can go in and just explore a lot of the different illnesses that I've done, and maybe you or a loved one or a friend is suffering from one of the different illnesses, and then you can just listen and read, and then if you decide that you want to purchase it, it can be purchased right online on my website, www.ritberger.com. So let me go in and jump in, and let's do Danielle from Florida. Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi, hon. How are you today? How can I help you?
Hi. I was calling because I was wondering if you could help me with a health question.
Yes.
On Monday morning, I passed out and was unconscious for like 3 to 5 minutes and had a nice ambulance ride to the hospital where they didn't really find anything specifically wrong with me.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could take a look and see what caused that and if they're missing anything because I'm getting ready to travel.
Okay. No, they didn't. Did they run a blood sugar glucose test on you?
Yeah, it was like 107.
Yeah.
So it was normal.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for that. I probably should have gone the other direction first with it. Most times when we faint, and specifically women faint, there's always that assumption that it has to do with a low blood sugar situation, that it could be tied to hypoglycemia. It could be tied also to hypothyroidism, because the thyroid is so actively involved in that oxidation of glucose, and then also tied with diabetes. So none of those things came up as I'm touching your energy also. One of the things, sweetie, that it feels to me is it feels like what we had is we had basically a peripheral nerve blackout is what I call it. And what happened is, let's see if I can do this. I need to go into your body for a moment. What we did is we basically had a pinched nerve that caused a reaction in your body that feels like it dropped your blood pressure, even though your blood pressure is normal. And what it is that all caused the process for you to just faint. It feels like it's really tied to nerves. It's tied to neck. It's tied to the cranial plexus. It's tied to cranial nerves. I'm going in because I've got in the cervical spine, I've got cervical vertebrae 2 and 3, and that's right kind of where the brainstem starts to come down into the neck area. The atlas is cervical vertebrae 1 that really is kind of sets the whole tone of the spine itself. C2 and 3 start the stability of the spine. And I've got some compression there. Did you get whiplash at some point in time, honey?
Yes, I've got it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, and there's an old injury there. And when I said that it's a positional reaction, when you sit, let's see, I can do this. It's more sitting than laying down. So, excuse me. Thanks for letting me in. I just went into your skin on this. When you sit, you feel like you don't sit even on your buttocks. You feel like your right leg is more extended. Your left leg feels more tucked under. You put more pressure on your left hip. That puts more pressure on your right side of your body in the shoulders and neck area. It feels like it throws your neck kind of off to the right, forward, and twisted a little bit back to the left. Were you traveling at the time this happened, or had you been sitting for a long time?
No, it was first thing in the morning.
Okay. Okay, so because I pick up the predisposition more when you sit. So let me see.
But I can tell you, I have had a stiff neck all week, so it could
yeah,
be.
Yep, no, it is. I mean, that's just what I keep picking up. But it's interesting, sweetie. It's not so much, I'm not picking it up having the impact when you lay down, when you're asleep. I mean, I can literally get in your skin. I can feel you sleep. I can feel your pillow. I can, you know, see how you, you know, lay on the side and how you move and how you get uncomfortable and what happens in the spine. I can pick up all that. But it doesn't feel like it was something that happens when you sleep. It feels like it's something that when you get up, when you sit up, maybe before you got up or you moved or something, it just tweaks that part of the neck and it hits this nerve. And this nerve just overreacts in the fight or flight, changes blood pressure. I can feel it drop, and you just faint.
So, can be done to fix that then? Do I need that?
Yes, yeah, there really is. So a couple of different things is, especially if you're going to be traveling, pay attention to how you sit. What you want to do is you want to sit where both of your little buttocks are just firm on the chair. Now, if you need to squirm around, then replace them where they're firm on the square. That'll keep your coccyx tailbone tucked under where it needs to. It will straighten your spine. It will take the tension off the neck itself. Your jaw just came in. Sorry. You're just so open. Did you have TMJ? I've got lingering effects of a jaw issue.
Yeah, I do.
That
have
gets
TMJ.
Off. Pardon?
Yeah, I do have TMJ.
Yeah, yeah. So I think all of these things are combined. So here's some things. We could do some craniosacral work. You could do some myofascial release. You could actually do some acupuncture. You could do some chiropractic, non-force chiropractic, more of a network chiropractic. You could also do some reflexology, which seems strange because that's on your feet, but it'll pull your chi down the way that you need to. You could look at doing some topical homeopathic creams such as Arnaflora or Tramiel. You could put some warm, get some the neck piece that you that has either flaxseed or lavender in it. You could put that, warm it up, put that on your shoulders. You could do some Biofreeze. You could do some Rolfing. You could do Feldenkrais, Alexander technique. All of those things are going to help your spine, sweetie. That'll be very, very helpful to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are welcome. It is very fixable. It has to do with what I call more of a positional situation than it really has to do with anything that has to do with series. I'm not picking up hormones, and I'm not picking up a glucose issue. So that's my take on it.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate all of your help.
You are most welcome. Thank you, sweetie. Enjoy wherever you're traveling to.
Okay, thank you.
You are most welcome. All right, so what are some of the things that you can do? And then I'm going to take an in the show with a couple of other calls in here. So what are some of the things that you can do to be able to help in the healing of PTSD? Most important is seek the help of a professional therapist, someone who is either trained in PTSD or even specializes in it, because they will have in their toolbox as a therapist different things that you can use. Cognitive behavioral therapy, they can do EMDR, they can do a lot of lateral right brain, left brain. So there's a lot of tools in their toolbox. So there's two things. They can actually help you with the tools that can help you, but then also they can share their expertise with you by being that compassionate ear that you can talk to, that you don't really think you're going crazy, that they can add that depth and awareness and, again, more of a holistic perspective to what's going on. The other thing that you can do is you can find a support group, because one of the things that's been consistent in the success of treating PTSD is to have a group of people where you don't feel that you're alone, and it gives you a chance to interact with people who actually suffer from the same disorder that you do. It's very different than going and literally working with family or trying to share with family, because family tends to want you to be back where you were. In the case of this young man, his family really wanted him to, when I said grown children, I really wasn't talking about grown children. I was talking about his family members. But in this particular case, what he did is he was going to the family members that were very, very important to him, but none of them knew really how to help him other than to just keep saying to him, you're okay, you're okay. And yet inside, he really wasn't okay. So again, both the professional help and support groups really does quicken the healing process with PTSD. Also, you can try hypnotherapy, guided imagery, tremendous success with both hypnotherapy and guided imagery, biofeedback, and then also meditation. And in the meditation, what you'll want to do is you'll really want to look at meditation that is what is considered more of a mindful meditation. And what mindful means is that it's a relaxation meditation process that allows you to be very focused and present in the moment instead of having the anticipation and the fear of the future or ruminating about the past. And one of the things we know now in a lot of the chronicness that's associated not only with illness in the body and associated with PTSD and even some of the phobias that are tied to the anxiety disorders and everything, mindfulness works very, very well. So that's something that you can learn. There's wonderful books out there, or find a therapist or a group that can help you with it. The other thing that you can do personally is talk to yourself differently, and rather than berating yourself for the inability to really deal with what's going on, try to really show yourself a lot of the same patience and tolerance that you would for the people that you love. Now, there's a real fine line here. I need to really be very straightforward about this, is that sometimes in that talking positively to ourselves, we can actually be rationalizing why we shouldn't seek the help. And one of the things is that when we rationalize things, then what'll happen is it'll continue to occur, the symptoms and the expressions in the physical body, and then what your intuition is saying, just go ahead and get started on it. But when you find yourself having that panic attack or those startled responses or waking up from nightmares, ask yourself literally what is happening. That will put you in your body. It will get your brain engaged. And then ask yourself, what's real? Now, I didn't say, is this real? Ask yourself, what's real? Because what that does is it puts you in the present moment, and then tell yourself that the trauma itself isn't happening right now. So as a result, you can feel safe right now because it isn't happening. So you can use self-talk and affirmations because these are very effective tools, as is mindfulness, to be able to change the way the brain neurologically and chemically responds to these fears associated with the trauma. Physically, take a daily dose of calcium and magnesium. Calcium, very important for working with glucose in the body, and magnesium for muscles. Both calcium and magnesium are very calming to the physical body. Take a daily dose of vitamin B complex, including B1, B6, and B12. These are really considered anti-anxiety vitamins. Try herbs such as valerian root, chamomile, and kava kava. Kava kava can work very effectively in some people, and then in other people it actually triggers a very strong response. So important to read your body and to know how it's reacting. I always encourage people, try one thing at a time. Give yourself 3 days at the minimum to see how your body's adjusting to it, 5 at the very optimal, and then what you can do is you can add more to it. Now, if the valerian root makes you sleepy during the day, then you'll want to take it at bedtime. Also, flower essence, because they're a natural medicine for emotions. Essence such as honeysuckle for flashback, star of Bethlehem for the release of trauma, and then cherry plum to maintain control. Try acupuncture as it eases excessive fears. Get a massage because it lowers anxiety and stress, and it's just very good overall for the health and well-being of the body. Get adequate rest. Very important if you do suffer from insomnia. Your daily naps are going to become an important part of the healing aspect of PTSD in the physical body. And then also get moderate exercise, whether that's a brisk walk, bicycle riding, swimming, or aerobics. We need to get that buildup of cortisol associated with PTSD out of the body. And then it's very difficult for us to stay in that place of drama, trauma, fear, and those lingering deep traumas that are associated with it chemically in the brain and so forth. Is getting outside and a change of scenery goes a long way. So again, there's a lot more information in my download of my Your Health teleclass on anxiety and panic disorders on PTSD. So if you are interested, I hope that you will go to my website, www.ritberger.com, RITBERGER.com, and then be able, excuse me, to gather the information that you're looking for, and then share that information with someone in your life if they do suffer from it. All right, let's go in. I'd like to jump in, and let's take Christine from New York. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much.
You are most welcome. How can I help you?
Well, I just want to say thank you for that story. It was very touching in the beginning.
Oh, thank you. It did for me, too. Oh, my gosh. But thank you for that, sweetie.
I'm calling, I don't know if it's possible, but I was wondering, if I'm calling about my brother-in-law.
Okay. May I just have
not
a first name?
His name is Rhody.
Okay.
And he lives in Sacramento, and he's 60, and he has congestive heart failure. And he just keeps going down and down and down, and I'm wondering, is there anything I can help him with, or if, you know, I mean...
Well, the first thing that you can do that just came and smacked me between the eyes is continue to reach out. He's feeling really alone right now.
Yeah, he is.
And a lot of his fear of abandonment from his childhood and a lot of his experiences and relationships is coming up right now. I'm not getting a lot of passion and hopefulness about staying in this physical body.
Hospice has come now.
So one of the things, sweetie, is he's gathering his memories and all of those things that he will ultimately take with him because he will transition, sweetie, is that be a part of those memories and that outreach and that connection in a way that it's, a kind word. Maybe it's something that comes across, a computer through, a connection, whatever it is, just keep reaching out for him because the two of you have this real deep connection, even though, he's a brother-in-law. There's been this kindredness, almost like this deep friendship between the two of you. And I think that that will go a long way so he knows that he isn't alone. Now, the other thing is, sweetie, is are you aware that he's beginning to get visitation from those on the other side?
No.
Okay, he is. He actually started 2 days ago. And what this is it's kind of the soul's kindness part of that soul part that what'll happen is he'll start to be getting these visitation from family members or animals that he had or things, memories that he had, but usually tied to someone, and someone will come. That's going to help him in this dealing with this fear of abandonment that he's been dealing with over the course of his life. It'll make him feel like he isn't alone. So we can do that physically, and then the soul and the universe is so kind and compassionate that it will do it on the other side. The other thing is that in hospice, how long have they, now none of us know how long it's going to be, but have
it's completely changed. They first said not till Christmas, and yesterday they said days or weeks. I mean, and
yes.
This has been within a week change. We're just kind of shocked.
Yes, and that has to do, it doesn't have to do so much with what's happening on that physical level, because he's been carrying congestive heart failure for quite a while. It just reached that critical point.
Exactly.
But what it really feels like, sweetie, is that right now he needs something to hang on to finish collecting these memories. And then when he does, he will transition. But I am picking up that they are coming in from the other side. So what that means is that his time that's gracing this earth is imminently short. I don't know what that is. None of us ever do from the standpoint. But the reality of it is he is in preparation for going back to light.
That's what it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it may very well be that he's been able to really, this is maybe the last part of his life that he wants to work with. Does he have a daughter?
He has three daughters.
Does he have one daughter he's had some difficult, challenging times with?
Yes.
It would be very important if the peace could be made. What I mean by that is I'm not sure that the peace can be made, but he feels like he needs to hear her voice, and he needs to be able to say some things to her so he can get some closure around that, because the energy around that is tied to the energy around his mother, and he never felt like he ever did enough for his mother, and he never has done enough for this daughter, and that would be very helpful to help him facilitate that any way you can, sweetie. I'm not sure you're very clever about it and very good about it. It would be very, very helpful for you to be able to help get that closure, because I'm going to tell you, he's going to hang on until he gets it, but he does need to get that. Does she live close by?
His daughter? Oh, he has three daughters that he lives with. They're really young. They're 9, 12, and 14.
And the one that he's having, that he's got this connection with, is she coming and spending time with him at all?
You know, I have to say she's gotten mad and has been being distant, and we're trying to tell her that now's not the time.
Let's see if we can do this.
She's only 14, but she's pretty angry.
Right, right. And
that's the one that I'm...
Yes, it is. That's exactly right. You're very, very good at that. So I've got a couple minutes, so I'm going to throw this out. You can listen to this show again in the archives. Okay. The thing is that for some reason she has never felt he has been there for her the way that she needs. And right now there's an opportunity for her to be there for him so she can heal what's going on with her. Now, let me be very clear. Being there for him means walking into the room. It means spending some time talking about her day. It doesn't have to be heavy emotional conversation. It doesn't have to be even any conversation. As long as she can just give him a few minutes a day or multiple times a day where they can just be in each other's presence, where he is energetically can heal her, and just her presence is going to give him the closure that he's looking for. And that closure is really important for him to have. So it will be done. The closure will be there. Whether it's once he transitions, she goes in and, you know, says she's mad at him or whatever. It's going to be done. But if it could be done consciously in a mindful way, then both of them will fully get the benefit of it. And it'll help her have a different perspective of relationships with men and embracing her masculine and stuff. I mean, this is really very tightly deep soul work between him and this 14-year-old daughter.
Okay.
So, and you know, Christine, you're very, very intuitive, sweetie, and just tap into your intuition and it'll help you, come up with something.
Support them. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just my goal.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. My pleasure for sharing that with you. Thank you for opening that door. Oh, so I'm going to take a very, very deep breath, and what I'm going to do is talk just a little bit more about the PTSD on this whole dynamics of it. So one of the things is to please remember that we all do have some level of trauma in our lives. We are very impressionable between birth and 13. We have a lot of things happen that may be below the surface we've lived with for a long time. So I truly do encourage you to talk to someone about what's going on below the surface of your skin, as I call it, a professional that can, or a clergy that can literally help you recognize what is the best way for you to be able to approach this and deal with it. And maybe it is just an anxiety or a general anxiety level that we have, and maybe it is the result and it's creative phobias, but anything that happens that you just can't seem to get that psychological engagement and physically feel good in your skin, and your intuition tells you it's tied to something that happened in your life, I really do encourage you to seek a mental health care professional. And all it's going to be is maybe sometimes an hour and a little bit of time. Light and love to all of you. Absolutely fabulous. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week on the radio. Love to all of you. Bye.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.